One time, Professor Einstein was going to give a talk on his famous theory of relativity. And he was traveling all over and giving these lectures again and again. And every time there was a driver who would accompany him and drive his car. And one time Einstein developed a severe headache. So he couldn't give. He was wondering, how would I make a presentation? So the driver said, "Don't worry, I will go. You give me your address. Because I have heard your lecture so many times, now I have it memorized." He said, "Sure?" I said, "Yes." So they exchanged their clothes because the people there hadn't seen him. They only knew that Einstein is a very great person. And he went there and exactly, perfectly presented the whole his philosophy or his theory. And all the people in the audience were very, very great scientists. And at the end of it, one of the person raised his hand and said, "I have a question." The driver started seeing stars. And he said, "Yes." And he asked the question. He said, "It is such a simple question, even my driver can answer. I'll call him." And in this way, he managed to escape. So similarly, whatever I have heard, whatever I have read here and there, and out of that, whatever has somehow percolated into my brain, I'm going to repeat. Any questions, refer to Prabhupada's books and hear from his sincere followers' lectures. So, trying to speak on Srimati Radharani on this such a auspicious day, on such a exalted personality, is like a kindergarten child trying to speak something on PhD level. A sadhaka to speak on the intricate and very, very intimate aspects of spontaneous, natural, exalted loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. How can we speak of such exalted, pure, unalloyed, uninterrupted love when we are struggling to control our senses from the lusty desires? There was one Prabhupada disciple who had come here. He was speaking. He's a book distributor. He was telling one time he went to book distribution for a very big rock show, and this super rock star gave him the book. And that person saw and he gave the Krishna book. And he saw the picture of Radha and Krishna in embrace. That's the picture that we have. And he said, "Who is this person?" Pointing to Krishna. He said, "I should be in that place. So much used to enjoying since time immemorial. So much used to getting profit, adoration, distinction. Intoxicated and totally addicted by this. So difficult to overcome. And when we are tinged with this, just like a jaundiced eye sees everything yellow. Similarly, avratam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha." Avratam, avaran means covering. So we have a specks of lust. And therefore we see everything with a desire to actually enjoy, lord it over. And for such person, sadhaka, to speak on how can they even understand without the mercy of Srimati Radharani, of course, these topics. Today, I won't speak long, just my quota of time, I'm going to focus on two subjects. And that is, few years ago, I was sitting on this day at a time when generally after the lecture, everyone was gone. And I was praying for two things. I said, how can I understand your mercy? Praying to Radharani. How am I to know that I have received your mercy? Ultimately, on this day, we have to pray for Srimati Radharani's mercy, because the day is non-different from her. The day is personified of that personality. And the second thing is, please give me some personal instruction, inspiration from the heart, from your heart. Please give me some instruction that I can. Chittete koriyo aikya arna koriho mane asha. Now I look back and it was quite childish, so I continue to. But at the same time, somehow that day I was praying and I was thinking that how can I understand Srimati Radharani's mercy? What exactly is Srimati Radharani's mercy? And how do I know that I am actually receiving that mercy? What is the proof? Ultimately, we are prayojan. There has to be some prayojan or benefit. What is the proof that I am receiving? So I remembered one time we had gone to Rawal, the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. And one thing I very distinctly remember about her birth, because today is her birthday. Today is her appearance day. Day of appearance in this, to our eyes, manifested. One thing is, she actually didn't open her eyes. She didn't hear anything. She was totally, under inverted commas, deaf and dumb and blind. Till Krishna actually came and just touched her near the cradle. That's this beautiful scene that you see on the diorama. They were in anxiety. The parents were in anxiety, Kirtida and Vrishabhanu. They were in tremendous anxiety that a child is born, especially a girl, and she can't see, she can't hear, she can't speak. Tremendous anxiety. Then Narada Muni told, why don't you have a nice birthday party and call Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, everyone. And when Krishna is sitting here, he just came near the cradle and looked up and just touched her. Immediately, her eyes opened, her ears, and she started speaking. Otherwise, she was practically dead. That means Krishna is her only life. Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvasva, Sarvakanta Shiromani. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, Govinda Anandini. Only she knows how to give pleasure to Krishna. Govinda Anandini. Now, in this world, people like Sukadeva Goswami, who have no material desires, they are not attracted to anything of this world. Loshtravat. It looks like a piece of stone. And what can they? They are Atmaram. So what do you speak of Krishna? What will he derive pleasure here? So for that kind of pleasure, what Krishna, only Srimati Radharani knows how to, Krishna is unlimited. His desires are also unlimited. Everything about him is unlimited. Who can provide that unlimited happiness? Except his own Ladini Shakti, his own Antaranga Shakti, internal potency, especially the pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. So Govinda Anandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, she attracts Krishna. Krishna is the attractor of everyone. She attracts Krishna. Govinda Sarvasva, practically Krishna is her life air. And Sarvakanta Shiromani, she is the crest jewel of all Lakshmis. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanta Sammohini Tatha. Anyway, so I was thinking about what is this mercy of Srimati Radharani. So that I remembered at Raval, this talk was going. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj were sitting there. And Krishna Kshetra Prabhu asked a question. After the lecture, he asked a question himself. And he said, how come that great acharyas established only Krishna? We say Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, but earlier they manifested alone, just Krishna's form. He said, how come Srimati Radharani was not there? Later, of course, Radharani was made and established before them. And so, Radhanath Maharaj explained that Krishna means actually Ladini potency within his heart. Srimati Radharani is already there. So acharyas worship in that sense. But by the mercy, these great acharyas establish Srimati Radharani for us to actually see, for us to know. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna in his literary form. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Srimati Radharani's literary form. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, Srimati Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, is non-different from Srimati Radharani. So by scrutinizingly studying the scripture, this is actually the essence. Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Pranta, Sabha Shikhaila Prabhu, Bhagavat Siddhanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami the essence, Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Pranta, the ultimate limits, what he had heard from Ramananda Rai, he explained to Rupa Goswami and instructed Rupa and Sanatan to actually write literatures. And from Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Saddharma Samsthapakau, they extracted the essence and presented before us the complete science of Ladini potency. How we can actually access, how we can understand, how we can access, how we can actually take advantage. So the complete and perfect science of devotional service, that is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And therefore, if you really want to take advantage of that, then we have to just, on this auspicious day, read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And wherein the science of devotional service is so beautifully explained. Complete science of devotional service. How Srimati Radharani is able to attract Krishna. Bhurijan Prabhu, in his one talk, was very nicely explaining. He was talking how Krishna is like a powerful magnet. And we are like insignificant, small iron filings. Iron filings are naturally attracted to powerful magnet. What to speak of if it's a very huge and powerful magnet. But have you ever heard of one tiny insignificant piece of iron attracting a magnet? And the magnet is forcefully attracted and comes and sticks to the piece of iron filing. He said that is what when Prahlad, the love of Prahlad, the devotional service, the attitude of Prahlad, attracted one incarnation from the spiritual world to descend, break the pillar out and come to reciprocate with his love. That is the power of devotional service. Of one insignificant, tiny living entity in its pure state, what to speak of the oceanic heart of Srimati Radharani, who is non-different from Krishna himself. How much more that must be attracting Krishna. In fact, Krishna knows nothing else. So that science of devotional service actually tells us how we can perfect our lives by accepting devotional service, by which we can attract the heart of Krishna. At least we can get his attention. Attraction is a little farther. At least get his attention. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. And if he smiles, life is perfected. Not imaginary smile. He should smile. You don't have to know whether he smiled or not. You will know when there is overflowing of love for him. Then you know he has smiled. Not just sentimentally saying, yeah, today he smiled at me. You know, sometimes he keeps smiling at me. So, the six characteristics of devotional service is explained by Rupa Goswami. So beautifully, so scientifically has presented the science of devotional service. Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha Laghutakrit, Sudur Labha, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Sri Krishna, Karshani Chasa. This is a test that are we receiving Srimati Radharani's mercy. Kleshagni, if we are practicing, her mercy is devotional service. Actually, that is the shelter and that's our sustenance in Krishna consciousness. So, Kleshagni means how much is our heart becoming purified of all the contaminations. That is the power of, that is the first installment of sadhana bhakti. Not bhava bhakti, sadhana bhakti. There are three kinds, three levels, sadhana, bhava and prema bhakti. And at three levels there are two different benefits that are at each level. And the first level is kleshagni. By practicing devotional, cheto darpanamarjanam, by practicing devotional service, klesha, miseries, sufferings that we are experiencing in this world, trivida tapa, miseries caused by body, miseries caused by mind, natural disturbances, and other living entities. How much are we becoming relieved from this? How much is it affecting us? That means we are not accepting. Mercy is available, actually. It's like the sun, indiscriminately being distributed. But we have to accept it. And by that, klesha agni. There are different levels. The first level is sinful activities. What is the current suffering is the manifestation of a sinful activity. And sinful activity is a result of sinful desire. And a sinful desire is due to ignorance of who we are. We are not the enjoyer. We are actually the servitor. So out of deep ignorance of our identity, who we are, we develop so many desires. Naturally, nature of the soul is to desire. But because of wrong identity, we have wrong desires. And because of wrong desires, those desires lead to wrong kind of activities, leads to wrong kind of reaction. But the power of devotional service is so much by the mercy of Srimati Radharani that the first thing is suffering is reduced. Even all of us can experience this. By chanting Hare Krishna, at least when someone insults us, we don't feel as bad as we used to before. One person looked little differently, turned a face a little this side, and for 1 week we are disturbed. But after some time, maybe for 1 hour, and then we say, I deserve it. Actually, much more. That person should have spit on my face. Luckily, only turned his face away and went. Hare Krishna, thank you. So, first thing is, at least reduction of the suffering. We see, even physical suffering is there, but a person gradually transcends the suffering. Next, even desires, when we are chanting and suddenly ugly kinds of, all kinds of desires come, we feel at least a sense of disgust. A sense of feeling very embarrassed. What nonsense, the same mind that I want to, mama mana mandire. He was drilling us into our heart. Mama mana mandire. Then my mind used to go somewhere. Mama manaman dhire. Mama manaman dhire. Bring him, bring him. It's amazing. These two, I had never thought. Nayana Jamuna, I had sung many, many times, like this driver of Einstein. But yes, you know, that during that NCPA, that program, I was actually thinking. Mama mana mandire, raho nishidi, Krishna murari, bhakti priti mala chandan. And what is this mala chandan? That's our service. And when we offer, and what is the river Jamuna is actually the tears flowing down. And also, Kairava Chandrika Vitranam that you said. Dark night. And then the lotus which is covered when the moon rises. That's Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And his mercy. And then the lotus of our heart which is covered blossoms. Such a wonderful when it is presented very nicely. In a very palatable way. You know, so we relish it. So, first installment is the suffering reduces. Second is we feel embarrassed by this filthy desires that comes out. At least we can notice that these are not good ones. Earlier we used to cultivate, water it, and you know, try to fructify those. Make sure that all these, you know, we execute that, and you know, chittite kori aikya arna kori humone asha. That was our. Now we at least recognize and we try to remove it. Then comes the identity, Jiver Swarubhoye Krishner Nityadas. So by this process, Kleshagni, simply by, with great enthusiasm, faith and patience, if we continue to execute. Then, Shubhada. Shubhada, it is described by Rupa Goswami that there are four and more different ways auspiciousness comes in our life. Shubhani preenanam sarva jagatam anuraktata sadguna sukhama ityadini akhyatani manishibhi. The first thing is shubhani preenanam sarva jagatam. The wise explain that there are four types of auspiciousness. Affection for all living entities. Yesterday we heard how the essence of all religion is to see beyond all externals and go to the essence of all the religion, that is love of God and love thy neighbor. That means every living entity. How much are we developing genuine respect and service attitude towards all living entities? That means our life is becoming auspicious. That means Srimati Radharani's mercy is coming in our heart. Shubhani Preenanam Sarva Jagatam and Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata. To the extent that mercy is manifest, that means we are getting purified. The soul is manifesting Krishna's qualities in its minute degree. To that extent, people are attracted. People are attracted by the words that we speak. That attraction, of course, we must understand, is actually Krishna's. It's like a magnet. You put an iron filing and attach to one more, one more, one more, and all these things are attached. But foolishly, that iron filing shouldn't think that I am attaching, you know, 100 pieces to me. Just release the connection with the magnet and everything falls apart. So, sarvajagatam anuraktata. To the extent we become an instrument of compassion in the hand of the Lord, to that extent, every word will attract people's heart. And then we can actually facilitate. Krishna's only desire for creating the material world is to attract the rebellious living entities back home, back to Godhead. And sadguna, another auspiciousness is, even without our knowledge, wonderful quality starts manifesting. That story of Murgari, a person who would so hard-hearted, so cruel, that he would watch suffering animals wriggling in pain, and that would give him happiness. That's happiness in the mode of ignorance. That you give suffering to others and see them suffering, you get some kind of pleasure. Actually enjoyment. And from that, in 6 months of chanting Hare Krishna, or a year or so, Parvat Muni saw the transformation in Mrigari, that he didn't want to hurt an ant. Seeing that he's also a living entity, just because I am big and huge and strong, that doesn't make the ant anything lesser in the eyes of Krishna. So, that feeling of seeing Krishna everywhere, seeing Krishna's part and parcel everywhere, sadguna, and therefore naturally wanting to serve, and all other qualities will manifest. And sukham, you actually start experiencing some kind of happiness. What is the proof? The whole world is hungry after a certain kind of happiness, and now that hunger is going away. Bhakti pareshan bhavi bhavo virakti anyatra trika eka kalaha prapadyamanasya tha ashtadasyur tushti pushti kshudapayo anubhasa. Bhagavatam explains how, as a hungry man eats, with every morsel of food, three things are happening. Tushti pushti kshudapayo. Tushti means satisfaction, great satisfaction. And because the more hungry you are, the more you will the food gives you satisfaction and happiness. And pushti, nourishment. And kshudapayo, to that extent the hunger is reduced. Similarly, by engagement in devotional service, you experience satisfaction. And what is the proof? That you feel satisfied. The whole world is hungry after certain kind of position, name, fame, or some kind of material possessions. Possessions and positions. Gross and subtle. But then, less and less we feel, even without that, still I'm happy and satisfied. I don't have to be running around like that. So this is a sign of experiencing happiness within. Sukham adini. So these are second sign. These are the benefits that are received. First two installments. Then, mokshalagutakrit. Mokshalagutakrit means, moksha means liberation, and laghutakrit. Aspiration for liberation reduces. Generally, when we don't know what liberation is, it's very easy to say, I have no desire for liberation. It's like if you ask a beggar on the street, do you have really a desire to become a billionaire? No, I have no. My desire is at least food should come at the end of the day. Deep inside, of course, the desire is there. But he thinks it, he knows it, it is so impossible. He has never experienced what it means to actually have billions. And he may say, you know, like that, but actually there is no understanding. So forget about liberation from the material world. We can get a little experience of liberation. We want to be liberated from hunger when we have hunger. We want to be liberated from thirst when we are thirsty. We want to be liberated from diseases when we have them. We want to be liberated from pain when we have it. Of course, we don't understand. The root cause of all of this is the body. But actually we see, by the engagement of devotional service, as we see in Rantidev, engagement in devotional service makes the desire for all these things relatively reduced. And then, moksha laghutakrit, and sudurlabha. Sudurlabha. Very, very rare. It is described why bhakti is so durlabha, very rare. Two reasons why it is rare. One is because even millions of lifetimes of sadhana cannot give us bhakti unless there is genuine attachment to the activity we are performing. If there is no attachment to that activity, we are doing it just because it has to be done, or with a desire to barge into the kingdom of God. I have done it, now you have to give me Krishna. And secondly, even if you are performing with attachment, not necessary that Krishna has to give you. It is his desire, it is his choice. He is supremely independent. Therefore, it is rare. Number one, any amount of austerities or sadhana without some love, therefore, some attachment. And if he has some attachment, that is the beginning of, Prabhupada explains in Bhakti Rasamrita, that is the qualification, some attachment. Oh, I like to chant, I like to see, I like to do this, I like to do. That little attachment arises from association of those who have that attachment. By serving those, just like Narada Muni in his previous life, he served the Bhaktivedantas and developed attachment gradually. So by the mercy, Krishna Bhakti Janma Moola Hai Sadhu Sangha, in the association of such devotees who have deep attachment for serving Krishna. So if we have that, and then, even then, you can't demand Krishna. Krishna may give it to anyone. And may not give it to a person after billions of lifetimes. You can't demand. Therefore, it is sudurlabha. And when someone gets it, he is still very, very fortunate. Manushyanam sahasreshu. That verse says how rare it is. And then, sixth is sandhrananda visheshatma. Sandra means concentrated happiness. Concentrated. Just like we have rasana concentrate. Right? Very concentrate. Pour water and then you can drink. Otherwise, very difficult. Concentrate. Just like lead. Lead is highly concentrated. Its density. And therefore, even X-ray cannot pass, which passes through our muscles, cannot pass through the lead. That's why these X-ray technicians, they wear this apron which has this lead covering. Even X-ray can't pass through. So thick, so strong density. And when happiness in Krishna consciousness becomes so dense, that no desire for my selfish, egoistic enjoyment can pass through that. Then we know that that's a very high level. That is bhava bhakti. Sorry, that is prema bhakti. And the highest happiness concentrate is Srimati Radharan. Her whole body, top to bottom, is nothing but meant for giving pleasure to Krishna. She has no other thought. There is no life for her. That's what this whole birthday, her appearance is like that. She didn't open her eyes. She didn't open her ears. What is the use? If Krishna is not there, shunya itam jagat sarvam, govinda virahiname. What is the use of seeing? Whom should I see? What is the use of hearing? Whose word should I hear? Why should I breathe? If it is not for the service of the Lord. So her existence is actually simply meant for that service of the Lord. So sandhrananda visheshatma. Actually, at all levels of bhakti, at the sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, happiness is there. It's not that only in the prema bhakti happiness comes. But only thing is, the degree differs. In sadhana bhakti, happiness is there enough so that when sense gratification comes, we compare it and say, I think I prefer bhakti to sense gratification. So somehow, I can do without it. I'll try to do without it. At least you can say that. Earlier, I couldn't do without it. But now I can do without it. I can still survive without it. It's like 51-49. Ratio wise. And at bhava bhakti, it increases so much that the desire for sense gratification and liberation seem insignificant. It's like 80-20. Liberation you want? As devotees are asked, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want any sense gratification? Do you want position? Indra, Chandra, any position you want? I want your service, my Lord. So they seem insignificant. They may use it for the service of the Lord. But when it is prema bhakti, sandhrananda visheshatma, it is so incalculably superior that one cannot even perceive its existence. They cannot perceive. They don't even see liberation or sense gratification. 100%. There's no understanding of what these things are. Yamunacharya prays, I spit at the thought. So, this is Sandhrananda, and finally, Sri Krishna Akarshini Chasa. Of course, this to its highest degree was exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That supreme most Mahabhav. Especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated this in Jagannath Puri. For devotees of Mahaprabhu, three places are important. Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. Audarya Dham, Navadvip, where distribution is made. And Jagannath Puri is Krandana Dham. A dham for crying. Mahaprabhu simply cried seeing Jagannath. Jagannath is experiencing, Krishna experiencing separation from Srimati Radharani, hearing her pastimes in Dwarka and going into the supreme most Mahabhav. And Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, experiencing intense separation from Krishna. Therefore, he wouldn't even go. First time he went and he just fell unconscious. Ultimately, he would just watch from a distance. And the last few years, 12 years, he was simply experiencing that. Which is simply to be cherished and worshipped. That's all. Not to be imitated by any chance. So, this is the mercy of Srimati Radharani that in the parampara that we have access to. Actual mercy is this, engagement in devotional service. And first of all, to understand the science of devotional service, thanks to the acharyas who extracted the essence of devotional service, the highest qualification to actually please and satisfy and attract Krishna, and presented it as a complete science systematically in the form of Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the second thing is instruction. And I was feeling, what is your instruction for me? And I was actually thinking, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the bodily effulgence and the heart or bhava mood of Srimati Radharani. And he not only experienced but also exhibited that devotional service and gave us instruction on how you could also access that. And that is his Shikshastakam prayers. In fact, where Gita ends, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Charanam Raja, Bhagavatam begins. Bhagavatam begins where Gita ends. Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo. Everything is kicked out. Pure devotional service. Then it starts. Builds up. You know, Dasya and Sakya and Madhurya in the 10th canto. But the name of Srimati Radharani is not even mentioned. Anayaradhito. Indirectly it's just mentioned. Because Sukadeva Goswami wouldn't dare because of many reasons. The kind of people who are there, all mixed crowd. And secondly, he would go into ecstasy and Parikshit Maharaj would be deprived of further katha. So he never expressed. And where Bhagavatam ends, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit begins. Of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of the three confidential reasons why he came to actually experience the love and to break the storehouse and to distribute it. And the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last chapter is the Shikshastakam prayers. Last chapter. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction for the whole world for all time to come. And within these 8 instructions, it's like a concentrated shell. From first to the last, it is complete in itself. And the essence is Sankirtanam. The 7-tongued fire. I was wondering, first time I read in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's article, the 7-tongued fire. 7-tongued, some kind of a entity with 7 tongues and fire coming out. But actually he referred to this particular first verse, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. These are the 7 installments of chanting. Tongue is like a, tongue is also like fire, it emits fire. So, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Sheha Kairav Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidyavadu Jeevanam, Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam, Purnamrata Swadhanam, Sarvatma Snapanam, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. These are the 7 tongues. And also, it's like there are 7 kinds of fires in a yajna, or the fire, 7 kinds of fire. So, you know, we offer oblations, swaha, everything is burned to ashes. And then ultimately, you know, from the fire comes out the result. So similarly, the first is Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. First this fire burns out all the unwanted things and then gives the result. Shreya Kairo Vidyavadu Jinam Anandamadi Vardhanam. Purna Amrita Aswadana. What is that Amrita? Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasa. Bhakti Rasa is service, devotional service. It's very significant. Prabhupada translates bhakti not as devotion but devotional service. Practical manifestation of devotion in the heart is devotional service. So, Bhakti Rasa and this devotional service is Amrita. Very sweet. Very nectarian and eternal also. Amrita, no mrita, no death for it. And Sindhu. It is like Sindhu. Rupa Goswami right at the outset mentions when there is this huge Sindhu, everything else, the desires, other desires become a bindu. Even if there are volcanoes within the ocean, even if the volcano comes out, you know what happens? Finished. In an ocean, volcano has no... It may bring out the lava. Otherwise, it can burn everything. But in an ocean, right in the center of the ocean is so vast. Shoreless, bottomless. What can an insignificant volcano do? Purna Amrita Aswadanam. So that is the Sankirtana through which one can experience. And then the second verse he says, but you so much mercy have given my Lord, but Durdaivam Idrisham Iha Jani Na Anuraga. How unfortunate. You have made it so easily accessible, so easily available, but I have no taste. And then he says in the next verse, how to develop that taste? You have to have a basic qualification. Minimum 4. Simple, very simple. Only you have to be humble than a blade of grass. That's all. Be tolerant as a tree. You just have to offer all respects to everyone else and never expect anything in return. That's all. That's all. That is all. Millions of lives, that is the last thing ever to go. The whole root of material existence is false ego. The root of material existence is false ego. And Mahaprabhu goes to the root, shakes us up from the bottom. That's all. 4 things only. That is a lifetime's project. But he has given a process. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. By constantly serving, gradually, these things will go away. If you see, all these 4 are connected to ego. The false ego. The big, fat, puffed up, false ego. Bloated. And thoroughly, we are pumping every day. Each time we, address its demands, we are actually like a cycle pump, in India. Yeah. Every time we respond to its demands, we are actually puffing it up. Trinadapi sunichena. What? Why is it difficult for us to be humble? Because the ego is having so many designations, so many conceptions of who I am. Therefore, it's very difficult to be humble. And that ego can't tolerate any kind of insult. How can I tolerate? I deserve. And anything that is, I feel, is non-deserving, it really hurts. And amanina, not respecting any kind of respect, and offering all respect, even to an ant. In various ways, he's striking to the root. Basically, give up your false ego. And what is that ego? You are not the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer, you are the servant. So this process of Harinam, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and what is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we are chanting? We are chanting, please engage me in your service. So Kirtaniya Sadahari. If you want to chant always, this is the only process. That is his mercy. That is his instruction. Just chant. And while chanting, you think, what am I chanting? I'm praying for service. I should do something then. But then, what are the obstacles to that service? Generally, when we do some service, there is a subtle or gross desire. Nadhanam. Or for Janam. Or for Sundarim Kavitam. Or for liberation. Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Nakavitam. And then we start experiencing the higher stage to ultimately a point when we can actually say from our heart, at least we can say from our tongue now, Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtuva. This is too high. If you realize Kunti Maharani's prayers, Vipada Santu, and this prayer are too really difficult to chant sincerely. Very difficult. So Ashlishyava, if you want to embrace me, if you want to kick me, as Bhakti Tirth Maharaj die before you die, in the last book he wrote, mercy comes from the front, mercy comes from the side, mercy comes from the back. 3 kinds of mercy. Mercy from the front means when you expect something, Krishna, Radharani, if you do this, I'll really consider your mercy. And exactly happens what you thought, whatever you thought. And they say, that is mercy. Mercy from the side means unexpectedly wonderful thing happens. But mercy from the back means the least expected way you want it to come. yasyaham anugrihnami. So, it may come in any way. Do we still say thank you? So, that's the prayer. Actually, Krishna says in the Gita, Arjuna asks, who is a self-realized soul? And Krishna says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan pad, atmanye vatmana. Dukkeshu anudvigramana, sukeshu vigatasura, vita ragavaya krodha. Yat sarvatra anabhisneha, tat tat prapya shubha ashubham, ya abhinandati nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. What is the speech of a person? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he talk? His talk is basically one talk. The essence of all his speech is, thank you, my Lord. In all circumstances, tattenu kampam sushamikshamana. That is his only talk. His only talk to the Lord is, thank you, my Lord. Asli seva padaratam. Yatha tathava vidadhatu lampatu mat prananatastu saiva. Thank you, my Lord. You are my Lord unconditionally, and I am your servant unconditionally. Which is a very high calling, but at least on this very auspicious day, we can beg for that strength to come to that shelter and receive that mercy and continue to accept and remain under that shade of her mercy. That means practical engagement in whatever way we can serve to the best of our ability. Jai Shri Radhashtami Mahotsav Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Thay Go Premanandi. Thank you very much.